KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Oh, that is so 90s.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town, and welcome to the Batcave, because we got a full studio of superheroes right in front of me. It's unbelievable. It's the Fantastic Four today. Unreal. The band is completely back together. Travis Johnson to my left. Barry Laminek to my right.
What up?
Dead center and behind the glass, Nick Sharara. And we have all hands on deck so that we can talk about what you had to witness last night.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so, boy.
Basically, we're going to do is we're going to talk about the fact that all the cuts were made last night that you were interested in, and the NBA tips off tonight.
What? No.
Oh, I thought that's where we were going.
I'm out.
So
I'm out.
All your basketball questions, line them up now. We're here till 4.
Oh, my God.
The NBA tips off. Is Durant the answer for the Warriors? Are they a dynasty? Can the Cavs repeat? Can anybody else compete with them?
Okay, I'll do this.
Open the show way.
I'll play. Yeah, that is true. I didn't say that.
Yes.
I didn't think you would actually do it, though. That'd be hey, jump out that window. I didn't think you would do it.
It's too dark.
I will say this. In rapid fire, who's the two surprise teams in the NBA on each side, East and West?
Minnesota and Utah in the West.
Well, I meant one on each
Milwaukee.
Side.
Milwaukee. I'd say Milwaukee's going to surprise people in the East, okay. And I think Minnesota's going to surprise people in the West.
That's why I needed to fill out my number 8 seed, so that's
good. That's why you asked for that?
No, because I wanted to see what you guys are thinking, because you're hearing a lot about Utah, you're hearing about Minnesota, there's some talk about the Bucks. The Knicks could surprise with the moves they made in the offseason.
Yeah,
so who are you? Who are you
trying to get?
In the East, I actually do like the Knicks. I mean, I don't know if it's because my affinity for everything, big everything Phil. You know what I mean?
Phil's a douche.
I like Phil. Don't let me don't mess up my thoughts on Phil.
Oh, I can. Give me 2 commercial breaks and I can mess them all up.
No, don't do that to me, man. Because you know what? I'm one of them guys. That still believe that if Phil would have stayed in L.A., we could have won us a couple more titles.
Nick, start buying books for Travis every week, like the Zen Master. It's gonna mess with his dome.
You should on Mondays and Fridays. You should just bring in like a rock garden.
I think on the West.
Put it out there
on the West. I'm hoping
the theme from Jeopardy starts now.
It was supposed to be rapid fire, Travis.
But the CTE thing gets in the way.
Really, the Lakers and the... I'm an 818, man. I'm hoping the Lakers... Hoping the Lakers backdoor into 8 seed if they can.
No, but this isn't who you hope.
I'm just... This
or who
is what
you
I'm
like.
This is a surprise.
No!
You said rapid fire. Okay. Who's the surprise? The surprise for me is the LA Lakers and the Los Angeles Clippers. That's who I care about in the West.
Okay.
Who was it in the East? The Knicks?
I got the Knicks. Yeah.
Okay, so
Knicks and,
by the way,
Knicks
we're not
Minnesota.
We're not in the Dick's weekend anymore, so you're not backdooring anything. You can just get us your picks quicker next time.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go Knicks and Jazz. That'd be my 2.
See how easy that was,
Travis?
I didn't want to spend the whole segment on basketball.
I like to think about my picks. When you just throw it at me, I want to make sure
From the perspective of the Knicks, for both of you, I don't think that they're a surprise. I think that they spent enough money.
Dude, where'd they finish last year?
Well, they spent money, they made moves that they should be a top 4 or 5 team in the East.
It doesn't matter. They won 32 games last year. Regardless of what they did, they're going to be, but still, they're going to be a surprise having won 32 games. Because if you think about it, the chemistry alone is going to be an issue they're going to have to overcome early on in the season anyway.
So. I love their starting 5. It's just how deep can they get with a bench that really they couldn't spend any money on. But if you go Derrick Rose, Courtney Lee, Porzingis, Carmelo.
Those players individually on other teams still would be great.
Yep.
So them collectively, if they can come together and Derrick Rose, you can get old Derrick Rose back as far as when he give him somewhat MVP caliber, then you can only get better. And then Porzingis, I think the last two seasons, he's the biggest surprise for everybody. Nobody thought he was going to be there. Everybody laughed at the Knicks when they took him in the draft. And now
they booed.
Yeah, of course. And now
they had like one kid crying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. There's nothing better than when kids cry watching sports. That is the best.
So the NBA tipped off tonight.
Especially
big night in the NBA. You can feel the entire intensity and excitement building here in the studio.
Yeah, I hope we never talk NBA again until Christmas. I just want you to know that.
And I can tell you that that's not going to happen.
That's the, exactly.
But if you guys want to talk NBA, hey, we're the place for that. I do want to make sure that we point out very, very well that the topic we had yesterday is now all over the other stations' airwaves.
They are.
Yeah. So the fact that we already covered all of Rick Smith's bad draft classes and how many guys didn't make it here and or anywhere else, and to add that to all the other things that are going on and fodder about the general manager of the Houston Texans, we already been there, done that. So if you want the current and the people with the finger on the pulse, come to us. Otherwise, spread yourself around.
But how funny is that that...
I think everyone's been talking about that, though, for a long time.
No, Rick Smith? Everybody's been talking about it. But yesterday, we actually broke down every draft by draft. From the beginning. And all of a sudden, it's like, let's go over the draft. Like, you turn on the other station over there off of Westland.
Let's go over the Rick Smith draft. We already did that.
Then all of a sudden, it's like, you wasn't thinking about that before.
Uh-huh.
You wasn't thinking about that before the game.
And the way it happened, Barry, is we were watching the debacle of Sunday Night Football.
Oh, God, was that not the worst?
But we said, look at Swearinger all over the place, like on the field for like 90 plays, making plays all over wasted a second-round pick on him.
That was the organic part of the show.
Yeah.
Because when we talked organic, and because it just so happened, like you said, like we was just he was just telling you, Barry, was that we literally start talking about the game and who impressed, who didn't impress. Uh-huh. And Swearinger comes up.
Yeah.
And we talk about, this is a second-round pick that's no longer here, but it's making plays with somebody
else. Isn't it amazing, though, how that happens? Because if you look at it, Jason Babin will be another one of those guys. He's still making plays in Philly, right?
Babin's
retired.
Oh, not Babin. You're talking about Connor Barlow.
But you hit the nail on the head, because Babin was one of them who... Yeah. They got rid of Babin here. Babin was a first-round pick, pick 24, if I want to be exactly correct.
You won't be.
And
Jacoby Jones did pretty good when he left. There's a lot of guys. Yeah.
We mentioned the three guys in the middle of the one draft that got caught smoking doobie on the road, and all of a sudden your two-thirds and a fifth are gone, like that.
Yeah. And, it seems like it's almost like this is a Houston thing, because even if you look at baseball, you look at some of the guys that are in the playoffs, that used to be Astros, Hunter Pence, Fowler. I mean, there's several guys that you look at and go, Chris Bryant should have been an Astro.
Chris Bryant is the one.
Should have been an Astro instead of Mark Appel.
Yeah.
But if you look at it seems that way. But don't forget, though, that the Texans have those guys as well. There are guys on this team.
We pointed out some of them.
That were drafted or cut or let go by other teams that fans in some other city are probably looking at going, that guy.
The biggest thing you can say about Rick Smith to give him credit for is your boy who retired yesterday.
Arian, yeah.
Finding Arian non-drafted.
That wasn't that hard. Arian Foster would have been a first-round pick if he'd left as a junior. He comes back, gets into it with Philip Fulmer, starts having fumbling problems, and then becomes an undrafted free agent. Arian Foster was a surefire first-round pick. And as a junior year, he was a
okay,
monster.
So my question then is, what is the biggest feather in Rick Smith's cap?
If it's not JJ?
I think Wade Phillips flat out had the ear of the owner and everybody else and said, I'm drafting defense this year and that's my guy.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then you say all the draft picks could have been selected by those guys. You know what I mean? Like, you could say Jared Crick was one of their guys, and this guy was you got to have it. We can't put half the drafts on the coaches and the other half on him.
Yeah.
It's like, who's making a decision?
Well, not only that, if you think about it, most people have a year where, oh, man, look who got taken after this pick. I mean, that's going to happen no matter what. So it's almost unfair to say, well, they took JJ, but they could have had XYZ later in the, or everyone gets upset about, they took
Sue Filo over Derek Carr.
They took Benny Joppru and they could have had somebody else.
Benny Joppru, that's a name you don't hear every day.
I'll give you one.
But every team has that.
They passed on Clinton Portis to take the receiver from Florida.
Jabbar Gaffney.
They took Gaffney and passed on Clinton Portis.
But at the same time, they still had, the following year. They had, I mean, they had Frenchie.
But I don't think Davis. I don't think you can judge general managers on that.
Frenchie. There you go again, dropping names. Barry and I are like Frenchie. It's a chicken place. You're talking about a guy that we don't know.
But after I said Frenchie, I also gave his government name in Dominic Davis. And Dominic Davis was...
When you were out with Granada, you called him something else.
Who?
You called him Dominic.
I never said Dominic Davis's name in the last show.
Just so you know, Dr. Dre...
Boy ND did, sorry.
Yeah, Dr. Dre... Wow, other show. Dr. Dre on 290 just said, what? Hold on. Oh, my Lord. Trap just said he's picking the Lakers. And then he posted a picture. He's like, I'm going to skate right on past that. It's
on
there.
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fun. I got both my guys in the studio today. I got Barry. I got Travis. I got Nick. We just need you. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to talk basketball all 3 hours. Otherwise.
Hell no.
We can get into that debacle last night. And everybody that's on the hot seat now, Barry.
No.
It is now or never time in Houston Texans land. We are here for you. You can tweet us at TrapJ99, at Barry is Funny, at No Hit Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel. We are going to have some fun, and we keep it real. ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
You guys know what this song is? Yeah. I requested it.
Now, who's Cheryl on the story?
You do know when to stop with the words, right?
Blue drop. Nope. Okay.
Right. So, basically, this summed up last night. And from Brock Osweiler's perspective, I want Nick to have all these songs ready to go because you're going to have Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. You're going to have More Money, More Problems. Bottom line is you can sound like a damn real estate salesman in post-game conferences and talk about how many things you did wrong, but that is not going to be acceptable behavior, and that is not going to be acceptable for anyone in this city based on what they have seen from their $17 million a year man.
No.
And you said it yesterday, and I wasn't ready to go there yet, and I'm ready to go there now. He was scared.
Yeah.
I mean, Von Miller gave him a look in the fourth quarter like, bro, you are my you-know-what.
Yeah, if you ain't a boy dog, you are what?
Wow.
And everybody, I told you that was going to happen. These guys have been doing this to this man for how long? I've never seen a 6'7" quarterback get a pass batted down
four times. Bro,
that is inexcusable. How does that happen?
Now we had Rod.
You're like the tallest dude on the field.
We had Rod
right now.
Sharon on yesterday, and he even said, "He goes, you can tell this from practice, but how many balls has he had batted down? Because it happens all the time."
Yeah.
And we weren't really thinking about it at the time. And also, I'm watching the game, going, "Oh my God, he's right." He that just should never happen. You're throwing on a ladder, and you're getting everything knocked down.
You're throwing on a ladder, and then proper quarterback play is not to sink down and throw. It's to stand up in the pocket and deliver the ball.
Or move back if it's a problem. I mean, Drew Brees doesn't even have this happen that often.
Exactly. But Drew Brees also steps from his tippy toes, and Drew Brees throws with a little top.
But he also can move around in the pocket
and find those windows.
My problem, I watched the game twice because I usually don't do that, but I decided I would go back and watch a lot of it again because I felt like, and I need to probably go back and watch some other games, but I don't know that Brock understands how to make reads. He locks on to his first option in the play, and that's it. And he does not throw or look. He never looks the defense off.
He does
not one time. He never moves the safeties with his eyes. He locks onto DeAndre Hopkins or Fuller, and he throws the ball, and it's whatever's there is there, or whatever's not is not. But he's going to force the ball in there no matter what.
Yeah, no question. And Joel, you mentioned that a little bit yesterday and last week.
I've been saying
about
it like for 3-4 weeks. He's got to stop staring down receivers.
But here's the thing is I don't blame – and everybody's gonna probably criticize, and you can text in if you want.
We like that.
But I don't wholeheartedly blame Brock Osweiler on everything that's going on right now. If you watch early in that game, especially I think it was late in the first quarter, early in the second quarter, where DeAndre ran a post corner option. He ran to the post and not to the corner. And he threw the ball out there, and they cut right before you saw
Yeah.
Brock finna rip into DeAndre.
Well, he still had some words for him coming back to the Hunter.
Well, yeah, and I think that's something that not a lot of people, Chester brought it up we had him in here.
Yep.
Not a lot of people have been touching on that. That's probably also his lack of confidence and why he's staring down so many people, because he knows, okay, based on what they're in, this is what I should get.
Yep.
And this is what he should do. So now he's staring him down because he's thinking, is he going to go left? Is he going to go right?
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, because the safety stayed inside over the top.
Yeah, and he's supposed to cut Hopkins outside.
Hopkins cut inside. It was supposed to be an out route at that point, and that's where Brock threw it. Same thing on the screenplay. If you look at the screenplay, who was it?
Blue. I think it was Blue.
Yeah, Blue broke down. He got bumped off the route. When he did the block, he got pushed into the interior of the line, and I think Brock was expecting him to be more out in the flat for the screenplay, and he wasn't there because he had to dump it off because, again, he's getting pressure.
Gets happy feet.
But that's screens. Screens are, they're change of pace, but...
But it was nowhere near Blue.
We had Keenan in, too, twice to break down the fact that these option routes are a problem.
Yep.
And you know what? That's something that they should be able to fix. These guys should stay after practice. Put the time in. They realize this is when they're supposed to be doing their work. And if it's not working, then spend the extra time until it is.
That's all you heard about, though, in the preseason, is how all these guys are working together. And Brock is taking the guys on these trips and these vacations. Man. And they're working together. Obviously not. You could tell DeAndre Hopkins is frustrated beyond belief. And I don't blame him. I mean, we talked about this for weeks, about how if you don't even have a chance at a 50-50 ball because they're all underthrown, that's going to get frustrating for him. And now he's quitting on routes. He's not out there fighting for a position, it doesn't look like.
Yeah, because even his, it was Chucky, what's the coach name? Lord,
talking about Gruden.
Yeah, Gruden. Gruden, he highlighted on the cast yesterday when he had a double move route, he was like, stop and go. Well, the problem is, I knew he was disinterested because you could see his stop and go just was so
lazy.
It really was.
Yeah,
it was lazy. Like, it really was.
And wonder why he didn't beat Will Harris, because, I mean, he wasn't threatened by you coming back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember one of the things I remember, and I use Dre as an example, Andre Johnson, is I remember he ran a route one day. We were watching 7-on-7, and we were watching a little bit of team. And he runs a slant and go, a sluggo route. And I remember he cuts on the slant, and he literally starts clapping his hands, basically like he's asking for the ball. Well, the DB sees his clap like, oh, it must be coming, and breaks on the route, and Dre takes off.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there looking like, just the detail he put into the sluggo that, it was like,
I got to tell you this,
wow.
If he did that right now with this team, I'd be worried that Brock was going to throw it because he clapped. I really would. I seriously would. I'd be like, oh, God, Brock, like, oh, my God, Andre wants the ball. Here, take it and throw it right to the defenseman. He almost did it. Two things we talked about yesterday almost came to fruition.
The pick six,
it should have been a pick six, and he dropped it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I'm going to give you credit for is I wasn't sold like Barry with his Purple People Eaters Purple Rain defense, but I'll tell you this. You
said
yesterday.
Which I was right about, by the way.
No, they're good, but they're
still. Come on, man.
Did you see the defense last night?
Yeah, did you see who they played?
Doesn't matter.
Come on now.
That you said he may be the best lockdown corner in the league right now.
Yeah.
The thing that impressed me more than anything else about Akeem Tlaib last night, first of all, I will say this too, what I was going to say to you when you said that about DeAndre. The other thing is, I think he was defeated in the first quarter when he realized, I got this guy on me all night long, and with this guy throwing me the ball, I got no shot, so I'm disinterested.
Yeah, and not just that, when he went, it wasn't just one side, because everybody talked about Josh Norman, how he didn't flip sides with the number one receiver.
Right.
Well, Denver has two Pro Bowl corners.
Yeah, with Harris on the other side, you don't have to.
So one guy plays the left, other guy plays the right. Pick your poison.
But here's my thing with Tlaib. I know Brock was 0-for-6 on anything over 15 yards deep.
And none of them were close.
But the closing speed that
Tlaib had is phenomenal.
He was step for step with Will Fuller, ran like the 4-3, and you'd think Tlaib was faster than the way he covered.
Tlaib was a 4-3 guy himself when he came out.
Goodness,
none
Tlaib
of that matters, though, because Brock was not close on one of those deep balls. There was not a single. The one that he threw to Anderson was probably the closest ball he had all night on anything past 20 yards or 15 yards. It was atrocious, man.
Houston, can you name this song? It's called Money for Nothing. That's what number 17 is right now for your Houston Texans. We want to hear from you. Adrian, Ken, we're coming to you next. 713-780-ESPN. You can chime in till 4 o'clock.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Man, I knew we had a good one going today. I didn't know when I got in the car, Nick. I didn't know when I got here. I knew we were going to end up talking about NBA all day. But I knew when I realized that I was going to have both these guys that we could have some fun today, but we're going to break it down like a mother. We're going to break it down like nobody else, and we're going to give it to you straight. No chasers, no sorry, not sorries. And so, essentially, I'm going to go where I've gone, and I'm going to go there again. You guys have both heard it. Barry's going to tell me how many times I've said it. But now, if Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith aren't firmly on the hot seat, something's wrong, because they have to be. And yeah, you can put Brock there, but the bottom line is, everybody. Now we're going to hear all this Tom Savage crap.
Oh yeah,
Savage played against threes and fours, and okay, so you're the ultimate warrior in preseason. Means nothing in the regular season. Now, if you're saying you're going to bail on Brock.
They're not going to bail on him.
They're not. They can't. Because no. They're going to pay him this year and next year.
If they bail on him, that essentially gets you fired.
But do we agree that they're both on the hot seat?
No.
No, I don't think that these coaches are on the hot seat.
I think because
Rick Smith, Bill O'Brien. Neither one. No one's going to go. No one's with me yet.
If anybody's on the hot seat, it's Bill O'Brien. It's not Rick Smith. But I don't think so. Because here's the thing. Last night, I felt like, you remember how we talked about yesterday? The media always gets the secrets, or they always get the what you want to put out there type of stuff.
Right.
And when listening to John Gruden, it further let me know that they're not going anywhere. Because the first thing they said was how complex the offense is, the complexity of the offense. They said complex by 17 times yesterday.
He also said how much Bill O'Brien's one of his favorite coaches in the NFL.
So to me, it lets me know that they're already putting the excuse out there. They're putting the feelers in the water of saying, well, Brock didn't play well this year because of the complexity of the offense, the complexity of this. The team didn't play well because of the complexity of this.
So this was one of the two of the three teams locally that you would say does those kind of things?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Okay, just check.
But here's the problem with that argument, though, is you're paying him to be able to handle like a vet. Because that's what we've been talking about for two weeks.
I'm not saying that's right because being a pro means being a pro. I was traded on a Thursday.
Played Monday night.
And asked to play a week in 2 days on a Monday night against the Raiders and started and learned the entire playbook of something that I've never done. Yeah. So the fact that you have given an entire offseason to learn something, I don't want to hear the complexity because that's your job.
Okay.
Well, so let me say something about the Tom Savage thing because you brought it up.
Yeah, but I want to get your opinion on that too. But the first thing is I don't want the media. I want your personal answer is Rick and Bill shouldn't be on the hot seat.
I think that Bill should be on the hot seat. I think that Rick should be on the hot seat, but I don't think they will be.
No, I don't think either of them should be on the hot seat. The Texans did what their only option was to do to by the mandate of the owner, which was we will get a quarterback. They weren't going to do it in the draft. They had no other choice but to do what they did or to stand pat with what they had.
But why wouldn't they get it in the draft? Because they wouldn't trade draft picks for it. Everybody knew there were franchise quarterbacks available. You could have traded the farm and got Wentz.
Or you could have Paxton Lynch fell in your lap, you just don't have Will Fuller.
Paxton Lynch fell in your lap, you could have got him.
But they made the move to get Brock before the draft so they could go get Dak Prescott. The mandate was that the owner said, we're going to do this in the draft. And I'm sure Bill O'Brien was like, man, we've got to get faster. So I don't know that you can blame Rick Smith because he did exactly what the two people that he works with are saying.
And I agree with you on that. That's why I wouldn't blame. But you say, yeah, you got to get faster. But you get a guy that's faster that can't catch.
He catches. He dropped one ball.
He catches. He dropped the ball. Where did the ball hit him?
Dude, before he got hurt, he was one of the best receivers in the first couple of weeks he played.
Because nobody was covering him.
It didn't. No, because they were playing bad defenses too. But so that, it doesn't so matter. That, but that, he was catching the ball, though, man. He was. Yes, he drops the ball. I get it. Andre Johnson had a ton of drops.
You could have drafted a quarterback, and you could have gone into free agency hands. For a receiver.
He had, well, you said what?
He had tons of drops. Hey, go back and look, man. Andre Johnson was notorious for dropping the ball. Man, easy catches too.
You just making stuff up.
It was a lap. No, he would just have a lack of concentration.
I totally disagree with the fact that that was their only option. That was their only game plan. We said this a week and a half ago. Whether they looked at trades in the draft, whether they looked at other teams' quarterbacks, whether they looked at free agency and otherwise. And the other thing is, they could have drafted a quarterback.
They could have.
And then gone into free agency for a receiver on the other side. So I will never agree with the fact, and again, working in a front office too, I know how many options are on the table at all times. There were tons of options. They just chose to put all their eggs in the Brock basket before they got to the draft. That was on them. That's on Rick. That's why I'm passionate about this. That's why I went back and took all those draft classes that Rick has drafted, and I brought them back up. Because of the fact that everybody's going to blame Brock. We've already said it's not just Brock, right? But he has looked awful, and he's doing a lot of things that are really, really bad. But the quarterback whisperer was supposed to be able to take all these guys, including two guys that used to play in his system in New England, in Mallett and Hoyer.
And that's where my problem with Bill O'Brien is. Well, you ask the GM. The GM has no history with those guys. The GM has no history with those guys that you brought in. But guess what? You bring them guys in, you say, oh, I can win with these are my guys. And you don't do anything with them.
Well, you guys are saying that they could have made a move in the draft. They didn't have a better option than Tennessee and Cleveland offered. Tennessee had the eighth
Paxton
pick in the
Lynch.
Draft. But the Rams had the eighth pick in the draft that they swapped with Tennessee.
You still could have got Paxton Lynch. You could have got Dak Prescott. You could have
No one knew. No one thought Dak Prescott was going to be.
You could have got the kid from Michigan State.
You could have got a kid from Michigan State.
Baylor.
I'll give you Paxton Lynch.
The year before that, you could have took Hunley from UCLA
or the kid from Baylor.
You could have took the kid.
Where are these dudes?
Other people are stockpiling them.
I'll give you Paxton Lynch, but no one knew Dak Prescott was going to do anything.
And the kid from Hackenberry are both waiting in the Jets.
The Jets got three quarterbacks.
Hundley's behind Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay.
And what's the Jets' record?
It don't matter. They still got quarterbacks.
They don't do anything. They can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They're still rookies.
We're talking franchise quarterbacks. There's few of those.
All right, both you guys go back to your corners.
Real quick, though, I just want to address something on the Tom Savage because you brought it up.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The thing about the people clamoring for Tom Savage is because there's no other option. I don't think it's that he played so well in the preseason. It's that he is the backup quarterback. And when you play as bad as Brock is playing, people start to call for the backup quarterback no matter who it is.
Right, I agree with that. But again, I go back to the general manager and say part of the program here is who knows if Brock doesn't get hurt in week one or two or five or six. You got to have someone because you're supposedly a playoff team on the cusp of fighting for a Super Bowl. You got to have someone as a backup plan if he goes down.
Man, if it was that easy, then everybody would have two.
That's not true. That's not true. Most teams do. Most teams have a guy in the waiting just in case. Whether it's short-term or long-term, they have a guy that has at least a little experience so they can step in, they can do it.
Why do you think they kept Sage Rosenfels around here for so long?
Most teams don't have good options at a backup quarterback.
We
can go down the list. I'm telling you, most teams don't have a good option at a backup quarterback.
New England has two. And that's because they found guys that play their system. I'm not saying that they're right for every system, but they've proven they have two. Okay? The biggest problem is, like, Green Bay got exposed when Rodgers went down.
Jacoby Brissett is a good...
He's better than what we got right now.
In their system, absolutely. And he's their third string in their system. Garoppolo proved that if Garoppolo would have stayed healthy for those first four games, he might have gone 4-0.
Yeah, Garoppolo was good.
Hey, well, there you go, he's number two.
Dude, I said most. How many teams are in the NFL? You gave me one example.
Okay,
one example.
Who's
the Broncos' backup quarterback?
It's
Paxton Lynch.
Exactly. The guy you wanted them to take to be a franchise solution can't even beat out Trevor Siemian.
Because Trevor Siemian had an extra time in that system.
Plus, they spent money on Mark Sanchez. They actually went out to try and get a guy.
Yeah, but he was third. I'm telling you, man, it's hard. If it was so easy to go get a backup quarterback, everybody would have two really good ones.
It's also the NFL, period. is this is not it's not a fly by night or it's not a fly by night job. So you still have to train them to do something. But when you get a guy like Brock Osweiler, who is a fifth year, sixth year guy, you expect him to give you more than that right now. Otherwise, just drop the pro from your name and go home.
They had depth at quarterback. They just didn't have anyone good, but they had four quarterbacks that started for this team last year.
Let me tell you something. So, if you're the Minnesota Vikings and Teddy Bridgewater goes down, and you're supposedly a Super Bowl contender, much like everybody talked about this team all summer long, then you go out and get yourself a quarterback.
Yeah.
You go out and get another one.
They had to go get him because they didn't have the depth on the roster to do it. They had to give up some stuff to get what they needed.
True.
Yeah, and last time I checked, trade deadline isn't over yet. Ain't nobody talking. We're talking till 4 o'clock. It's Barry Laminack. It's Travis Johnson, myself, Joel Blank, Nick behind the glass. Till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Welcome to our private discussion where you're allowed to chime in when we're not in a commercial break, as long as you hear us talking when we get back on air. It's Barry Laminack, it's Travis Johnson, it's myself, Joel Blank. We're talking about the debacle that is the Houston Texans. I still stand by the fact that Rick and Bill are both on the hot seat. I believe that this Lions game now is, again, enormous.
Not a winnable game either. This is not an easy win.
No, and I told you this last week. Detroit's starting to play better and better. Yep. And Detroit's getting their stuff together. And Detroit's going to pass the ball all over the place. Kareem looked awful last night. Jonathan Joseph once again looked like he was slow. You already got Johnson on IR. Their defensive back situation. And you know what? I give Bouye credit early in the game. What was it, the first series?
Yeah, he had three plays within the first
three. Great plays, one-on-one.
Bouye played
his tail off early.
He killed in the first eight plays. He made five of them.
Yep. So he's okay, but the secondary in general got some issues, and Detroit's going to sling it around with Stafford.
Did we get an injury update on Bouye? Did we find out what was going on, Nick?
I can look it up.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I know he left the game, so...
So before you guys have been waiting a long time. You want to chime in on this too. So before you get to more of the back and forth between all of us, let's go to Ken. Ken, you want to talk about the Texans? What's up?
Yo, what up?
What's up, Ken? How you doing, man?
Man, cooling, man. Second time calling.
Well, welcome in.
Look here. First off, I want to say another word for mandible is called dome. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
Now, with that being said, Brock looked like a dog on dead headlights last night. I mean, it was to a point where it was just like he was truly a man against boys, and they made him regret ever leaving Denver. He should have never left. It was like, dude, you left the penthouse and went straight to the dog on Section 8, man.
So you're saying that this is about the difference in the two teams? I'll tell you this, Ken, I'm going to tell you this, and we appreciate your call, but the biggest thing is that when you look at it, Gary Kubiak doesn't look so bad right now, does he? Because they think Bill O'Brien was the quarterback whisperer, but Gary Kubiak's got Simeon playing pretty good ball.
I've been telling people this for years, is that there is no, outside of, when it comes to true quarterback whisperers, there's North Turner and Gary Kubiak, and that's it. Everybody else is underneath. When it comes to actually teaching the game to quarterback and simplifying the game and offensive strategy. And it, no matter how everybody said, he was patient with him. He gave him 8 years. He gave him this. Yeah. But at the end of the day, obviously he wasn't the problem. If he's left and gone on and won a Super Bowl, and we're still having the same problems we're having now.
And not only that, he won a Super Bowl with the quarterback, with the quarterback that everyone's bitching about now. He had that quarterback going 5-2.
Anybody could have did that with the best defense in the world.
But I'm just saying, he had that quarterback.
But he makes a good point.
He had that quarterback at 5-2.
Yeah.
One at New England.
Yeah, who is 4-3 now.
But how many points did they score at New England? They ran the ball. When he came down, they rushed for a bunch of yards. I remember CJ ended up rushing, I think it was
on the left side. You want me to go there?
Yeah, I mean, you can give it to me.
It sounds like you were describing last night, because that's what they did. They ran the ball. That's the Kubiak offense, though.
I was going to say, guess what?
What?
Gary Kubiak's play caller.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he is. But that,
so,
that's
so not here, Kubiak. Here's my, wait. Here's my comparison. Quarterback whisperer on Kirby, he's a play caller. If you know what you got and you know what you got around him, then start run. Then do exactly what do well. Cover up what you don't and do what you need to do to win games. Bill O'Brien is not doing any of that.
But I think in this game he tried too early until Lamar Miller got hit in the mouth on the sideline and all of a sudden.
Lamar Miller made his own injury last night.
Yeah, because he could have ran out of bounds.
He could have run out of bounds. He dropped the shoulder to hit the guy out of bounds, and that's where he got the stinger.
And got it fed to him. That's the first thing I said as soon as he did it.
I did
and
too.
He shook it off. I said he got a stinger. And he was like, oh, well, he's had shoulder issues. You know, they were talking about it earlier. Like, oh, Dell was like, oh, he's had shoulder. I said, man, that's a stinger.
They finally showed the replay in the fourth quarter that I was yelling at from the first play going, he did that to himself.
Yeah, he could have ran out of bounds.
They showed Dr. Lowe going, can you push up? You knew what he had.
Yeah, exactly. But they kept on, well, we don't know. That's the thing I hate about watching TV some days. That's the reason why I watch it on mute when it comes to some of them football games. Because they act like some of these people that do it act like they're dumb. Like, oh, we don't know what's wrong with him. We haven't seen Lamar Miller since the first quarter, and we don't know what's going on. But Dr. Lowe is running him through shoulder exercise to test the strength of his shoulder.
Right.
We don't know. But as soon as I find out, I'll let you know. And like, I hate watching with the sound on TV.
Yeah, my point is between the two quarterback whisperers, if you got the head coach who's also the play caller, and he's doing it with, look, Simeon's stats were not great last night, but guess what? He managed the game. He made the throws he had to make. He got the running game going. He got them in their offense. And again, when we had Dilfer on, I said this. Game manager as a title used to be a compliment. Now it's an insult,
yeah.
And really it shouldn't be, but Kubiak made a game manager out of a rookie quarterback, and he looked good. And on the other side of the coin, Brock hasn't looked good all year.
But that's Kubiak's offense, though. It's not a flashy offense. It's a very vanilla offense. It's run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, bootleg. There's three levels to throw to, and that's it.
It's actually one, from a defensive standpoint, it's one of the hardest to prepare for because you know they're going to be where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, but it's not a flashy offense. Yeah, it's not a complicated offense.
It's an easy game manager's offense.
Yeah,
it's an inside outside zone. It's an inside outside zone play action pass bootleg offense. But here's the thing, you know it's coming, and
yes,
you still can't stop it because guess what? They pounded in. When you talk about the zone blocking scheme, it started with Coach Gibbs. Used to be the
Joe Gibbs.
No, not Joe Gibbs.
Oh, you're talking about
Alex Gibbs.
Alex Gibbs,
and they have continued to perfect the zone blocking scheme to where they get guys open, they get holes caused. They do it with offensive linemen. They got Russell Okung out there who they're paying a lot of money. Yeah, they bought in the other guy, the other tackle. They're paying some Donald Stevenson, who they paid some money to. But they continue to do no matter where he's been. When Coob was here and the offensive line was just okay, when they had Mike Brizell and they had guys like that playing the offense, everybody said, well, Mike Brizell ended up getting $30 million from Oakland. Because he looked good in this offense. It's all a matter of how you coach it and deal with it. And that's why I don't care what nobody says. Coob is a great coach. He'll continue to be a great coach. And, yeah, it was vanilla, but Simeon did exactly like they started making it an insult when it came to – you know what it was when they came to describing Alex Smith a few years ago? It was, oh, he's just a game manager. What's wrong with managing the game? Ain't that what you want out of a point guard?
Well, because your Niners defense there was the best defense in football.
Yeah, but at the same time, ain't that what you wanted out? Like, if your quarterback is your equal to your point guard, you're a basketball guy. Your quarterback, do you?
I quit right now.
I'm just saying. You were a basketball.
I was a basketball guy, but I'm more than that.
Yeah, ahead. You're more than that. You were a baseball guy. You're a heck of a pitcher. Hey, I understand
just
that.
Just go ahead.
But what do you want your point guard to do? You want him to be a big scorer? You want him to facilitate?
You want him to be a facilitator.
You want him to be a facilitator. And right. That's what you want out of your quarterback.
Well, no question. Hector, before we go to break, we want to hear from you, my man. What's up with your opinion on the Texans?
Well, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Welcome
appreciate
in, my man.
You guys. I was calling because I've never called before. I don't get very excited about Houston teams. I've been a long time Houston fan, but you know, watching the Texans the last few games, it's just bad. You know, Osweiler looks scared. He's not giving the receivers a chance to catch the ball. My son plays college ball. So, you know, as a receiver dad, I always teach my son that if the ball hits you, you need to catch it. But if you're running in one direction and the ball's thrown behind you, it's kind of hard to catch the ball. You know, his long passes, he just seems to want to throw that he has, to show that he has a big arm, but he's overthrowing the guys. Anytime he gets any pressure, he just throws the ball out of bounds. It's just bad football. And, you know, O'Brien makes a lot of excuses for him. Oh, he's only started in 13 games. But, you know, you got rookies that just came out of college. They're playing a lot better than he is. So those excuses are out the window. He had 4 years to get ready to be a starter, and he's not proven that he can be a starter in the NFL.
Thanks for the call, Hector. We appreciate it. Don't be a stranger and come on back. So we've heard from a lot of people that have that same perspective. A lot of people are on the ledge. They're ready to jump off the Texan bandwagon, at least for this year. They're ready to mail it in. Are you? Where are you on this entire situation with your Houston Texans? You're going to probably win the division. You're going to probably get in the playoffs. And you're probably going to get your butt handed to you. But we don't know that for sure. We do know that right now they can't beat the teams that are expected to be contending for at least two playoff games and possibly a Super Bowl. So where are you and where is your head on your Houston Texans the day after the debacle at Sports Authority Field at Mile High? We want to hear from you, 713-780-ESPN. You can tweet us all show long, and we'll be here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Guys, if